Well, good morning. Keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 9, as that will be our main text for this morning's lesson. So has anyone ever criticized you for something you just really love and enjoy? Or has anyone given you a really hard time about that? Make fun of you? Has anyone made fun of you for your beliefs maybe in the Bible? Has anyone ever tried to just make you feel really bad for believing the Word of God and maybe even try to hurt you? Or you lose your job maybe because of your beliefs or your position because of your faith? What I'd like to talk about with you all this morning is the idea of hope and suffering. Did it again. That's why I'm the preacher program. There we go. I want to talk about hope and suffering. It's on now. Yeah. In this country, I think we are very fortunate that we don't really face daily persecution like they did back then, and worries of being killed for our faith in the Lord. But that's not the reality in other countries that we see. We know countries where people are being sadly imprisoned or beat, some even being killed for their faith that they have in the Lord. And we know some of the brethren in Vietnam, just a while ago, were arrested for worshiping together. Laws in India and China prohibit the teaching of Christianity and plenty of other countries as well. And certain teachings are also banned in a lot of countries. So why does that happen? Why do we as Christians suffer for our faith and hope that we have? Well, it's because we live in a very perverted, a crooked, and wicked generation, and since the beginning, once sin entered into this world. There has been evil and corruption ever since. Now, should we be surprised by the suffering that we may face? Well, no, we shouldn't. As we know in Ecclesiastes, there is absolutely nothing new under the sun. But also the fact Jesus tells us that if you become one of mine, you will suffer for my sake. Now, so how can we have hope in our suffering? And so for this morning, let's read and try to figure that out, the hope and suffering that we can have. So let's go ahead and read Luke 9. 23 through 27. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed of when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." So Jesus, before this section, is telling the apostles about his death, and that his death is about to come, and that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and that he's going to be rejected, but also be raised on the third day. Which then he tells everyone, deny yourself, and take up your cross daily and follow me. But what does it mean to take up your cross? Especially at this time, because Jesus hadn't faced death just yet. This means to put aside our own desires, to put away our ambitions, our self-centeredness. Disciples of Jesus are called to live selflessly and to be obedient to God's will and not our own. It's humility. But also, I think some taking up your cross daily is the idea that we have a willingness to endure hardships, sufferings, and maybe even persecution for the sake of following Christ and being faithful to him. It shows the idea of being a disciple of Jesus involves sacrifice and sometimes facing maybe difficult circumstances, which tells us that if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, then we ought to know that suffering as a Christian is a reality. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly lives, or to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted." So it should be no surprise to us at all. We have been told several times to expect it as long as we live. And as Christians, there are times that our faith will be tested. Now again, I think we've been very fortunate to not have to worry about facing any persecution in our country. I think it's because our country, first off, was funded on biblical principles. And I think that really helps. Now, that doesn't mean we won't face persecution, because we are told we will face trials and suffering in our walk as Christians. But where we live, that's just not a common reality right now, that we will face daily persecution. I think that day is certainly coming, and I think it may come here sooner than we think. Especially with how things are being ran in this country today. But I don't think any of us, and I may be wrong, and I tend to be wrong most of the time, I don't think we have faced any persecution up to this point. I haven't. And I may have been made fun of for my beliefs, been ridiculed. You know, I can handle that. I have 4 siblings. But we have seen brothers and sisters all over in different parts of the world suffer for Christ's sake, for worshiping Him. Like I mentioned earlier, there are laws that are being created to push God out of their countries, to push Christianity away. Especially recently, some of these countries just recently this year. I think of 2020. I think that was the biggest pushback we've ever had as Christians in our country. And I think, again, it was very different depending on what state you were living in. But back in Kentucky, a lot of the governors and officials were mandating certain things, like you cannot meet to worship because they said it wasn't essential to meet. It wasn't needed. It wasn't important. Well, that's just ridiculous. You know, it's dumb to say. And in Kentucky, like, well, my church never had to worry about this. There was a church, I think it may have been in Frankfurt, that had some, the officials came in and fined the whole entire church. And if I'm not mistaken, some of those members were actually arrested too for meeting. Now, those people end up not having to pay those fines. And our governor had to face some serious discipline for the whole situation. And, you know, that's a very long story. We're not going to get into that. But we're starting to see where we are starting to face challenges when it comes to worshiping and living for Christ, living a life for Christ. But don't be surprised, because we know as Christians, suffering and persecution is a reality for us. In verse 24 of Luke 9, there's that expectation that if we live for Him, there's a chance that we will lose our life because of our faith. But if we lose our life for His sake, we will also gain life. Paul says something about that. Go to Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse 21 through 23, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better." So if we suffer for Christ's sake and lose our life, we also gain life. Here to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Our suffering isn't for nothing at all. We gain a reward for standing firm and dying for Christ's sake. I don't know if you've noticed this, but many times, and I've noticed it for myself, that it is our suffering that our relationship grows with God grows the strongest. But also, when we are suffering, it is essential for, I think, for us to remember that God is very attentive and hears. He never leaves us alone. For those that are in Christ, we can rest on the assurance that we serve a Lord who knows and understands our suffering. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 4, 14, 15, it says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every aspect has been tempted, and as we are, not yet without sin." So Jesus, more than anyone, knows what it means to suffer. And He's also present in our suffering. I think of the church of Smyrna, the suffering church. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. For those that have been in the postcards class, you know, I'm sorry that you have to hear this again. But, you know, here is a church that is just going through it. It is struggling, and they're suffering, being persecuted by the Roman Empire and from the Jews. And so let's go ahead and read Revelation 2, verses 8 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, that you may be tested. And then for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear and what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. But I want you to really pick up and notice in verse 9, what does Jesus tell the church? I know. I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. And I know the slander of those who are Jews and are not, but are in the synagogue of Satan. Jesus knows. Jesus is saying, I know what you're going through. I know those things that you've been through. I've been through them too. Jesus understands the suffering in this church and what they are going through. Jesus suffered while he was here on earth. And now he's our advocate. He understands the things that we go through, and we can find comfort in that. But not only that, notice of what he says at the end of that section. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. While we suffer from trials and suffer from daily life, we have a hope and a reward if we continue to press on and remain faithful. So what should our response be to suffering? Well, I think Paul is a great example of that in Philippians 3. In Philippians 3, in 12 through 14, he says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for what? For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We are confident that God will provide the means and conclusion to our suffering. Hope is not dreaming. It is not putting our hope in some type of illusion that will protect us from our pain. It is a hope that creates in us faith, confidence, and trust that God will do what he said said that he will do. It's hope not based in fantasy, but built upon the foundation of God's promises that we read about. Our hope is not placed in the hands of man, but it's in the Lord. And not only that, Paul went through so much suffering in his life, and pain, and imprisonment. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten a lot. He was stoned a few times. But he went through all that because of the goal and the confidence that he had in God for the prize. He wanted to finish the race no matter how hard it would get. Paul pressed on no matter how hard his life got. And he continued to press on because of his faith in the Lord. It was firm. So what he shows also is we should persevere in faith. He shows a great example of that. That we need to have perseverance through suffering. Pressing on like the athlete does in a race, a 5K. Even when it gets really hard, we don't look behind us. We must continue to press on to that finish line. You know, just a few weeks ago, Peter Murphy asked me to go running with him early morning. And there's something you know about me. I hate running. I don't like running at all. But I decided to do it anyway because Peter asked. And I like being with him. But he wanted to run for 20 minutes straight, and I can barely go for 1 minute. But maybe it was my pride. I kept going no matter what. But I pressed on until we got done. I didn't stop running until he said we were done. Now, my reward was actually just getting off the treadmill. That was my reward, was getting off. But, I mean, for us, I think that's really important. We need to continue going no matter how hard our life gets. And so, what else should we do? I think we must equip ourselves with God's Word. Like the athlete who presses on, we must train. We must be active in equipping ourselves with God's Word. And as Paul wrote about in Galatians 6, we also must put on the whole armor of God. And as we saw how Paul lived, he most certainly did. Well, why is that? Well, I think it's because the devil is on the prowl at all times. He's seeking to devour. And so while we may not face persecution in the sense of being beaten or maybe having some rocks thrown at us, he uses those outside to discourage you. You will probably face a lot of verbal abuse for things that you believe in. People will try to tear you apart with their words. Remember, just a couple weeks ago, we talked about the power of words and the power and the impact our words can have. Those words can impact us so much, they can also cause us to fall away if we are not firm at all in our faith. Have you ever just been so discouraged about something that you love and you liked a lot, that because you got so much hate and criticism for it, you quit? I was kind of the same way when I was 9 or 10 years old. I was trying to learn how to play guitar. Of course, as anyone who starts, you're not good. You're just not good at all. And my sister, my older sister, made me very much know I was not good at all. Every single time I picked up the guitar, she told me to quit a lot of times. And so I did. But that's what the devil is trying to do to us. He uses people to destroy us. He finds ways. Satan is very, very crafty in what he does. And so if people can say words that can get to you, he will also use that and try to destroy you and destroy your faith. And so we must stand firm in that. And we also need to prepare ourselves. We face different types of persecution. So by training ourselves up for godliness and putting on the whole armor of God, we can do better and be better guard for those times or for when those times come. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 10, you know, Paul is telling Timothy the value of godly training and the importance of godly training. We know from these texts and by what Paul has said, these things hold a promise to the life that's to come to those who are faithful and perseverant. And so for our last point this morning, what should we do, or what is our attitude towards suffering? Go to James chapter 1. James gives us insight of what our attitude should be and the way that we should think about trials and suffering. And so notice what the text says here. Let's go ahead and read James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that we will receive anything from the Lord. He is the double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. Why does James say that? Why count it joy? I don't think James is literally telling us to be joyful or happy when we're struggling with trials and suffering. I don't think he wants to be joyful when, I just got hit by a big truck on 54. That's just fantastic. That's great. Or, I have detrimental illness. That's just fantastic. I don't think that's what James is trying to tell us to be joyful about, of those things. But I think what he's trying to help us understand is through the trials and suffering that we're going through, that it is a testing of our faith, which produces steadfastness, being firm, being rock solid. The trials and suffering aren't always something that have no meaning. There's purpose to it. Having a better understanding of why we're going through what we're going through helps us in our faith and the confidence that we can have. When we suffer is when we tend to grow closer and should grow closer to God. And it helps us to be more reliant on Him as well. But also, He helps us see suffering is a reality, most importantly. He helps us. God is with us during our suffering. And so then when we have hope and suffering, we are faithful to Him. He redeems us, and that we can have that eternal joy awaiting us if we abide in Him and are obedient to Him, and if we press on and have faith and confidence in the Lord. This life is temporary. Our suffering is temporary. But eternity is forever. And we have a hope in suffering because we know there's an ultimate reward to those who are His. And so we have hope in the Lord because of the promises He has bestowed to us. So let's be faithful to Him. While we may not get relief from our suffering, and while it may be hard to comprehend the reasons behind our suffering and trials we go through, those things that we go through can either lead us to growing or we can let them destroy us. And know that if we suffer for Christ's sake, we'll have hope. And so hope in Him. Be faithful. Study His word daily. And also remember, you're not alone in your suffering. And also that our Savior understands and sympathizes with us. Jesus suffered. He understands. And He loves and cares for you and wants to help you. So before we offer an invitation, I just want to take this moment and just tell you all how much I appreciate being with you all this summer. It's been absolutely fantastic, and I've enjoyed it a lot. I appreciate the families like the Murphys, the Kaufmans, Dennises, and the Huntleys right now letting me stay with them for a time being this summer and feeding me. I don't think there's ever been a day I've had to worry about not eating something. And if I didn't, that was all my fault. But I really appreciate being with you. I've been really encouraged. I've enjoyed working with Andrew and Edwin a lot this summer. You all have been just amazing. I really appreciate you all. And I love you all. And I really mean that too. But also going back, you want to know what else Jesus' suffering did for us? His suffering gave us the chance to be with Him eternally. Jesus suffered and died on the cross for us, that we could have the chance if we commit our lives to Him and are baptized and repent. And so if you're not a Christian, we would love for you to make that change this morning. To put on Christ, to get rid of the old self in baptism, and to be transformed and brought up in a new self. We would encourage you to do so right now before it is everlastingly too late. Won't you come forward while we stand and as we sing?